everyone that is in, all of you so much for the gifts that you have given us in music this morning so far. Thank you all so much. I want to invite you into a New Testament reading. This is a letter that Paul is writing to Timothy. 2 Timothy, we will begin at chapter 1 and start at verse 3 and continue through verse 7. I'm reading from a translation of the Bible. It's called the New Revised Standard Version, so that's where this is going to come from. But again, 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting at verse 3. "And I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day, recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. And for this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardness, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we are grateful. We're grateful for the faith that you have so freely given into all of our lives, and grateful, O Lord, for your holy words that are now spoken in our midst. And we pray and ask, Lord, that as we have gathered here this morning, and that as we are here in your presence, we ask, O Lord, that you will make these words come to life in our very own lives. Lord, may our hearts be open to you. May our spirits be moved by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I thank you for the words that you have spoken into my heart. I pray and ask that as I speak this morning, the words that I say will be pleasing, that they'll be acceptable in your sight. For these things we ask together in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. There's this story of a young preacher who was anticipating her first time coming into a place. You know, I'm a preacher, so I'm going to start with a preacher story. So you know that's where it's going to come from. But there was a young woman, and she was a preacher, first time for Mother's Day. And she was a little unnerved about preaching on Mother's Day because, you know, it's a special day. It's a day that you come to church with your mother, that you join your mother. And so she reached out. She reached out to an older pastor, an established preacher, good preacher, and said, "I'm a little bit stuck on Mother's Day. I really don't know what to do on Mother's Day." And he quickly said it with all the care in the world and said, "You know, don't even think about it. Don't even worry about Mother's Day. It's not anything. As long as you are able to include three things, it doesn't matter what you preach about on Mother's Day." So it absolutely does. And so she's there. She's there. She's on the edge of her seat thinking, well, what are these three things? What's the magic formula to this preaching on Mother's Day? And he said, "You can preach about anything as long as you include mothers, mothers, mothers." Those are the three things. So you want to make sure. You want to make sure that when we gather on a day like today, you know, to remember your mom and to remember those also who are around us who have loved us like mothers. And it's good advice, right? Really good advice to pass this on, not only in church, but even after we leave church, you know, to think about mothers and to think and be thankful for mothers. I was thinking about that particularly this week as I heard some interviews in the news with college graduates, which is always exciting. I always love hearing about those stories of college graduates, people who are just getting ready to graduate from college in particular. And there were some interviews that I heard of students. Now, oftentimes you'll hear from professors, you will hear from administrators, but you don't oftentimes hear from students. But this year, and maybe you've noticed this too, we are starting to hear from students because there are some students that right now are preparing to graduate, and even some that for a couple of weeks have been preparing to graduate, and their graduation, the official ceremonies, the official graduations are now all of a sudden up in the air. And you know, it's just one of those places that we find with some of the conflict that's happened on campus, some of the protests that have happened on campus, and as administrators try to figure that out. But if you think about these college graduates, If you think about these that are all of a sudden finding that their college graduations are all of a sudden up in the air, these are kids who graduated from high school in 2020. And so from 2020 to 2024 and the experiences that just in a few years, and high school graduations that also were up in the air, high school graduations that also, well, may or may not have happened. And I know particularly as a father that my own son, who missed his high school graduation as it was put off, I remember the 6 feet apart chairs that were there, and the one thing that I have, the one picture that I have of Thomas's high school graduation in 2020 is an empty chair that on the back of it said Thomas Bolin. Thomas had joined the Army. Thomas had went into the Army, and so that's where he had already been. That's how he spent his summer. But it was a graduation that was put off. One of the interesting things about moments like this, moments like graduations, moments like this, is that a few years ago, there was a book that was written by Chip and Dan Heath. And they said that we have moments, that all of us have moments in our lives that are called defining moments. These moments where they are short experiences that are both meaningful and they're also moments that are memorable. Graduations are those moments. First jobs are those moments. When you start driving for the very first time, it is those kinds of moments. And for many of us, it's our moms. And it's also those who love and care for us, just like a mother, who when no one else seems to help us, reminds us is that when one of those defining moments, and when one of those moments seems to blow up in our face or seems to not go the way that we want it to, it's oftentimes our moms. And again, those who love, those who care for us like moms, who remind us, yeah, things are going to work out. You know, this story in the New Testament, this letter that the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, you can't just read this part of the Bible. You can't just read this letter of Timothy like any other part of the Bible, because essentially what is happening is that Paul is writing an extraordinarily personal letter to Timothy. You see, there's other letters in the New Testament. You're probably familiar with those. There's letters like Romans. There's letters like 1 and 2 Corinthians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Letters that are intended to be read like this. Letters that are intended to be read when people are present, when congregations are present, when people have come, the body of Christ has come together, and the letter will be read. Oftentimes, those letters, too, they will be passed on to other congregations. They will be passed on to other bodies of believers. But this letter that Paul is writing to Timothy, this is a personal letter. And it shows Paul's deep connection with Timothy. In fact, Paul will begin by saying, "I remember your tears, and I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy," Paul writes to Timothy. And what stands out for Paul is when, well, again, longing to see Timothy, separated from Timothy. What stands out for Paul is what he says and what he writes in this letter. "Timothy, I am reminded of your sincere faith." And so why is it that Paul will write to Timothy and with tears in his eyes and longing for to be in his presence, why does he write that "I'm reminded of a sincere faith"? I mean, because he's missed Timothy desperately. In fact, there's two letters in the New Testament that shows Paul's love for Timothy, how much he has missed Timothy. But what Paul has noticed and recognized in his own distance away from Timothy, whom he loves and he longs to see and has tears in his eyes, is he misses the kind of faith that both Paul shares as well as both Timothy shares. Now, on Mother's Day, I recognize that there are people that we miss. On Mother's Day, I recognize that there are people that we miss, often with tears in our eyes, often people that we long to see. And yet, as much as Paul hurt for not being with Timothy, there's this faith that stands out in Paul's life, this fate that stands out between both him and Timothy, a fate that has lived in Timothy, a fate that was shared with his grandmother Lois, and also his mother Eunice, and now is living in Timothy. You know, one of the greatest gifts that we have as Christians are the things that we have the opportunities to pass on. How many of you were sitting here this morning, just here watching our children as they came up on the platform and as they walked up to the stairs? How many of you were recognizing them that as they made sure that they were spaced out the way that they practiced on Wednesday night and how they were there with those hand motions? And how many of you had those moments of your own experiences when you were children yourselves and you were taking these steps, maybe here, maybe in a building across the street, maybe in a building around the world, that you were taking those steps and you were invited to come and you were invited to sing? How many of you remember those times when you have friends that you were standing with who you were trying to sing and trying not to smile as they were standing there? How many of you remember other experiences where people just like the people that are gathered here this morning have loved you enough to pass on to you, this is what we do together. These are some of the songs that we get to learn. This is the kind of God that we worship together. You see, one of the greatest gifts that we have as Christians is what we have the opportunities to pass on. Imagine being able to pass on a faith that can endure when we miss one another so much that it starts to bring tears to our eyes, because this is what we see evidence of in Paul's letter to Timothy. Imagine a sincere faith as Paul acknowledges and as Paul recognizes. Imagine a sincere faith that is able to connect us with God when we are so filled with loss that we don't know where else to turn. Imagine a faith that lives in us. A faith that is, alive in our own hearts, that has such power that we have assurance that God is here with us, that we know that even though we may be deeply separated from the people that we love the most, and knowing that God is not distant, and certainly that God is not behind us somewhere in the past, but that God is with us right here, that God is present with us in this very moment. You see, that's the gift that we have as followers of Jesus. And that's the gift and the opportunity that every single one of us has to be able to pass that on. In fact, you may look at this connection and this relationship that Paul and Timothy have and wonder to yourself, who are Paul and Timothy? Paul is an extraordinarily established leader. Although he's not recognized oftentimes, he will find himself shipwrecked at times. He will find himself arrested and put in jail. He will find himself run out of communities of faith as well as the entire community. But Paul is an established leader in the faith. Timothy is just starting. Timothy is emerging. He was an up-and-coming leader and, faced a lot of trials of his own. And yet Timothy had a sincere faith. And what we discover about both Paul and Timothy, that this kind of sincere faith, this kind of faith that I just invited you to imagine, that it doesn't come automatic to any of us. Because as powerful as faith can be for all of us, as sincere our own intentions can be, often we come to moments in our lives where we need to, and oftentimes we desperately need to do it, we need to rekindle that gift of God that is always available to us. You see, faith is a two-way street. Faith for you, also faith for me. And as much as we may experience it being passed on to us, as much as we may have songs passed on to us, that we may have the words of the songs passed on, even the motions passed on to us, it is. Faith requires a step from us. It's what some have historically called this great big leap, to take a leap of faith. And it especially takes that. It especially takes that in longings, very much like what the Apostle Paul is experiencing. Longings like loss and grief and pain. But like a spark, It is up to every single one of us to rekindle that gift of God that is available in our lives. And often that is the most faith-filled thing that any of us can do in our lives. And this is where the power of faith, well, this is where it really has the opportunity to become extraordinary. Because faith can not only comfort us in loss and missing people that we desperately long to be with, but sincere faith is not only passed down and made real generation after generation, but faith that is sincere, faith that is passed down, the kind of faith that is passed down from mothers and grandmothers and all those who love us as mothers and grandmothers. Faith when it's rekindled with the spark of the power of God, this is the kind of faith that equips us with power, with love, and self-discipline. So that when we find ourselves, as we often do, that when we find ourselves when all the flowers of Mother's Day are dried and wilted, so that when all the songs are over and we even forget the words to those songs, and we find ourselves once again with tears in our eyes, faith has the ability to give us power and love and self-discipline when everything else is gone. And this is the precious gift. This is the kind of faith that we have the chance to pass on, not only in May, not only on Mother's Day, with the end of school, with graduations, but this is the kind of faith that we have an opportunity to pass on. Well, if we're not afraid to face each other in those lowest moments and those lowest places in life, every one of those defining moments that sometimes seems to blow up right in our face because things have not worked out the way that we thought they would. There's a story of a mother who falls down a hole. And as she finds herself in the bottom of this hole, she looks around. There's no way that she can get out of the hole. And she starts to scream. She starts to yell, as any of us would. But she finds herself in the bottom of this hole. And with her screaming and with her shouting, a doctor passes by. And the physician looks down in the hole and sees her. And sees her face to face. And then all of a sudden takes out the doctor's prescription pad, writes out a prescription, tears it off the pad, and then drops it down into the hole and keeps on walking. And again, a priest comes by as the mother continues to yell and as the mother continues to scream and to shout. And the priest walks by, looks down into the hole, and takes out a pad of paper and says, you know, I'm in this hole. Can't you do anything to help? And the priest takes out a pad of paper, and the priest writes out a prayer and then drops it down into the hole and then walks by. And finally, she screams just one more time, almost to the place of giving up. And finally, she looks up and there's somebody that's standing there that she recognizes. And she says, Mary. She says, I've fallen down in this hole. There's no way that I can get out of this hole. She said, isn't there something that you can do? And all of a sudden, her friend just walks away. And then she notices that she comes and she jumps down into the hole with her. And she looks at her, so confused and so upset, and says, what have you done, Mary? She says, now both of us are in the bottom of that hole. There is no way that either one of us are going to be able to get out of this hole. And Mary says, wait a minute, says, you don't know. She says, you don't know about this hole because, she says, about 2 months ago, I fell down into this same hole. She says, and there was nobody that was able to help me. But she says, I want you to come, and I want you to follow me. Because she said, about 2 months ago, I fell down in this hole. And she says, if we walk this way, I know the way to get out of this hole. You see, all of us, every single one of us who are here this morning and have come on Mother's Day, every single one of us has an opportunity to pass on a faith that shows each other how to get out of the hole.
Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you. We thank you in the midst, Lord, of your mercy. We thank you in the midst of your grace. We thank you for relationships. Above fathers and mothers, as well as aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters, we thank you, O God, for families who have sustained us. We thank you, O God, for the family of God that has surrounded us and passed on to us a sincere faith, Lord. And in this moment, Lord, when we have lifted up your name and as we have worshiped you, Lord, we pray and ask that the sparks that have been rekindled this morning, that, Lord, that they may come to life, that they may come to fruition in our lives. Lord, in our own sorrow and in our own loss, we pray and ask that in the name of Jesus Christ that you will heal it, that you will make us whole and complete people in, Lord, in the body of Christ. And Lord, may we not be fearful. May we not be afraid to pass on that faith to everyone, Lord, that finds themselves in trouble. We pray and we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, the one who saves us. Amen.
Would you all stand as we get our positions up here and sing with us another song about the heritage we have and the hope that we have in Christ.
Celebrate on this day, a day that we have had an opportunity to gather together. I do want to remind you that there are offering plates that are in the back. If you've not had an opportunity to drop in your tithe and offering, you can do that as you are on your way out. But let's lift up these praises that have made this day possible, and let us praise God together.